This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me, we're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to
somebody put your hands together and just bless Jesus this morning. Amen. I pray for you. You pray for me. Amen. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Amen. I want to give God some praise for just being in the house of the Lord one more time. It is good to be back home. Amen. Amen. Before we get into this morning's message, I just want to share with you a little bit about my journey to New Orleans, Louisiana. Every time when I come back from a mission trip, I try to share with you what has happened. And one of the things that I must say is that I am disappointed about our government in the United States of America. I am really challenged by the fact that whole communities are still living in a state of destitute and struggle. And we need to do something about it. And so where the governments fail, the church cannot fail. And that song that we just sang really has new meaning to me now. A lot of times we are selfish in that song, and that I pray for you, you pray for me has to deal with those that are sitting right next to us that we can see. But when we sing that song, we need to sing it with more meaning now, that we need to not only pray but do for those that may not be in our immediate sight, but those that are even in our country and around the world that suffer in destitute and struggle and need our help. So that we need each other. We need those that are in Louisiana that are struggling. We're going to need those that are in Jamaica that soon may be struggling. We need those in Cairo, Egypt, those that are in Guyana, South America, those that are our partners in Pradesh, India, and all around the world, our mission partners. We want to continually pray for them, amen, in their plight of suffering and in poverty. This week, my wife and I had an opportunity to do a lot of wonderful work. I probably cut about 3 football fields of grass that was about 2 feet high. And my wife was working with children and young people in Louisiana. So we had a wonderful time working, but we also realized that we have to continue to help. This past Sunday, we worked with the church in New Orleans and helped them, amen, carry out the gospel at their church. And they are even struggling to figure out where they're going to worship the next Sunday. So we want to thank God that God's provided us a place of worship. Can somebody say amen? Amen. In the weeks and months ahead, we will be working with a church in Louisiana to help them establish a feeding program in Louisiana and help them collaborate with other churches. Amen. Whoever's cell phone is ringing, if that's not Jesus, can you put it on vibrate? Amen. Amen. But we're going to be working with them, and then there's some other mission journeys that are ahead of us. In October, I'll be traveling to Kingston, Jamaica. My wife will be going to Cairo, Egypt, and Nigeria in November. Amen. I will be going to Kentucky in November, and then we'll be going to back to Guyana in January, and then Zimbabwe in October of 2008. So keep us in prayer as we travel along the airways and take the gospel all around the world. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word. We ask that you touch us and guide us and give us what you would have for us to say as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray, let us all say amen. Amen. Thank God for the reading of the scripture. We want to focus on Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 21 to 24. And then we want to go to 35 to 43. I just want to read the first couple verses, and then we're going to skip down since Shande read a good portion of that. Verse 21, it says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Let's look down a little bit further, round about the 39th verse. It says, "And when he was come, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado? Why make ye so much fuss and weep? And the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered where the damsel was lying." Turn to your neighbor today and say, neighbor, get the fuss out. Get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message this morning. Say, neighbor, get the fuss out. I had to re-emphasize the syllables so that all to make a mistake. Get the fuss out. Get the fuss out. Get the fuss out. You know, a lot of people make a big fuss over things that really don't need a big fuss made over. There's old saying is that you made a mountain out of a molehill, meaning that, yeah, the situation might have seemed difficult. It might seem troublesome. A problem may have arose in your life that has been real challenging. But sometimes, you know, not only you, but the people around you, whether they are affected by the problem or not, often make a big fuss over something that's really not that big. My wife will tell me often, because I am a good fusser. I'm a good fusser, and she'll tell you I'm a good fusser. And she said, it really wasn't all that. Why are you making a big fuss over that? And there's times that she fusses too, and I do the same thing. And why are you making a big deal over that? It really is not that big a deal. Anybody know some fussers in your life? Yeah, you one of them. The fussers that they just make a big deal over nothing. Fussing, it is the act of making a unnecessary uproar over something that's really not that big a deal. And often the one who is fussing does not understand the ability of the matter to be easily resolved, or has a source that is able to resolve the matter quickly, and that often causes them to do something that we call fussing. Fussing. Just say fussing. Make it sound like it really means fussing. And I want you to understand today that it is necessary for us as believers to not do so much fussing, but we really need to do some believing that God can work out our problem, that can bring us out of difficulty, that can bring us out of struggle. But often the reason why we do so much fussing is because of the fact that we believe that the problem can't be resolved that early, easy, so that way we often fuss. Fuss. In our message today, we want to examine some alternatives to fussing in order to handle our problems and difficulties that may arise in order to produce a positive result. The alternatives to fussing. In our text, we are presented with a problem. Jairus. Jairus, he is a ruler of the synagogue. And the problem is that his daughter is close to death, and she is a young girl, about 12 years of age, and the Bible says that she is almost at the point of death. She is very sick. This is the problem that is occurring. Jairus's daughter is sick at the point of death. All of us here today have some kind of problem or circumstance in our life right now. How many people have some difficulty right now? You have some difficulty? All of us at some point, and matter of fact, I can challenge you to say that if you're not having a problem right now, you're either coming out of one or on your way into one, because the reality of life has its ups and its downs. It has its good days and its bad days. But the songwriter said that I look back and I saw that my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain or make a whole bunch of fuss, knowing that God's going to make everything all right. But all of us have problems in our life. Our marriages sometimes are at the point of death. Our relationships with our children are almost at the point of death. Our employment, where we're working, is almost at the point of death. Our financial well-being is almost at the point of death. And problems that arise in your life can cause you as an individual and those around you that may be affected by your difficulty to cause you to fuss. Well, what are the alternatives? What are the alternatives to fussing? What are the alternatives that will stop you from raising so much Cain that it not only makes the problem worse, but also makes everybody worse around you? In our lesson today, we want to examine five alternatives to fussing. Let's look at our text in the 22nd verse of that fifth chapter. It says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. It's very significant that he is a ruler of the synagogue, ruler of the synagogue. Keep that in the back of your mind. The ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He's a ruler of the synagogue. And here he comes to Jesus because of his need, and he falls at Jesus' feet. He's a ruler of the synagogue, and he goes to Jesus, and he falls at his feet. One of the things that we have to understand that in order for fussing to be eliminated, one alternative is to worship. Now, the significance is that Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue. Some of you say, why I keep saying that? I want you to understand that no matter what your position is in life, when you have a need from God and an alternative, an effective alternative for your fussing is to worship. Well, you're saying, I need something right now, worship. I'm going through difficulty, worship. I have problems in my life, worship. I'm broke, worship. If you want an answer, an alternative to fussing and complaining and raising all kind of cane about your circumstance, the alternative to fussing is to worship. Somebody gonna get this in a second. David said like this, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And matter of fact, the Bible says in the Old Testament that he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you want to get God's attention, if you want an alternative to fussing about your problem, one way to handle your problem is to begin to worship God. Begin to magnify his name and to lift him up. Here, Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue. It doesn't matter about your status in your life. If you really want God to come through to you, you need to take out some time to worship. Don't just worship God when everything is going all right in your life. Don't worship God when things are getting better. Don't worship God just when you get a job. Start worshiping before you get one. Start worshiping and bless his name before everything comes all right. Start worshiping and bless his name when everything seems like it's havoc in your life. Because if you learn to bless God in your time of difficulty, you won't have any problem worshiping him when everything is all right. Can somebody say, amen. There are five alternatives that we want to deal with today. An alternative to fussing. And Jairus by name, he went and saw Jesus and he fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. It just seems like it's abnormal. I'm stuck here for one moment because of the fact that Jairus was a ruler. And a lot of times, a lot of us need to let down our pride. I know as men sometimes, and even ladies sometimes, we get prideful and say, you know, I don't know about this worshiping thing, you know, letting tears fall down my face and laying down before Jesus' feet, coming to the altar, laying on my face and believing and entrusting God as an alternative to complaining. But I want to let you know, if you learn to lay down yourself before God, God will lift down his hand from glory and see about your need and condition and your problem, and you won't have to fuss. All you need to do is worship. Somebody say worship. There's five alternatives that we need to deal with today as alternatives to fussing. To get the fuss out, we need to worship. What is the second thing? It's found in the 7th through the 11th verse of the 7th chapter. It says here, we want to look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 7 through 11. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open unto you. Or what man is there of you whom the son asks for bread, will he give a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask? Our text part of this is found in the 23rd through the 24th verse of Mark, that 5th chapter. It says, and besought him greatly, saying, my daughter, this is Jairus talking, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged against him. The second thing that you need to do, a second alternative for fussing, is to ask God for help. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, ask God for help. You know, a lot of times we complain about difficulties in our life, but we forget to do one of the most important things in order to overcome your problem. Ask God for help. If you remember early in our message, we talked about the definition of fussing. Fussing is simply often stimulated simply by the fact that either you do not have an answer to your problem or you do not have access to the source for your problem to be resolved. If you learn to realize that God is the source of every blessing, every answer, you know, there's a show called Jeopardy. And if you ever watch this show, all you really have to do is come up with the answer. They come up with the question. I want to let you know that Jesus is the answer for every problem, every circumstance, every difficulty in your life. Jesus is the answer. Come up with a question. Think of that question in your mind right now. Where I'm going to work, where I'm going to eat, where I'm going to live, how I'm going to make it. I got an answer for you. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer for every circumstance, every difficulty. And I know it seems like it's almost sounds weird that, okay, how am I going to eat? Jesus? Yeah, Jesus is the way for every problem, every circumstances in your life. Every answer that you need in life is found here in the Word of God. All you need to do is pick it up, eat it, and take of God's goodness, and you'll find that every answer for your life is right here in God's Word. But a lot of times we seek help from everybody else, but we forget to find out, Jesus, what do you have for my life? An alternative to fussing and complaining and making a whole bunch of noise out of nothing, realize that Jesus is the one that can handle your circumstance and handle your problem. Somebody say, get the fuss out. Get the fuss out. Two alternatives that we examined for fussing today. First of all is worship. The second is ask God for help. The third thing, don't be disturbed by someone else's miracle. Don't be disturbed by someone else's miracle. Now, if you notice that when we read this text, we read from verse 21 to 24, and then we skipped down from 20 to 35 to 43. And the reason why is because from verse 25 to 34, there is an interruption in the text. See, in the beginning, it was Jairus just coming to Jesus, and he worshiped at Jesus' feet, and then he asked God for what he wanted. And then Jesus says, all right, I'm going with you. There was a crowd in the place at that time, and everybody was pushing against Jesus. And the Bible says that there was a woman who had an issue of blood that worked her way through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. And Jesus stopped. He was on the way to Jairus' house. Jairus' daughter was about to die. She was sick. She was in trouble, but Jesus stopped. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I'm struggling and I'm going through difficulty and I see everybody else getting blessed around me, but my difficulty is still here. And I say, Jesus, I've been asking for a miracle and you blessed him. I've been asking for a way out and you helped her. God, I need you right now. And Jairus must have been just like this. Jesus, my daughter is dying, but here this woman has come and you helped her and you stopped. She's already healed. Why are you having a discussion? My daughter is dying. Why don't you come and help? And a lot of times we get tied up with everybody else's blessing, but I want to let you know right now, if God is in the neighborhood, that means just hang on there a little while longer because your miracle is on the way. Stop being so worried about somebody else's miracle, because if you rejoice for somebody else's miracle, if you thank God for somebody else's blessing, if you start worshiping him because somebody else was brought through, I want to let you know that your day of miracle is on the way. Just lift your hands to the Lord and say, my miracle is on the way. Come on, put those hands together and bless Jesus today. You have to understand that God has you on his list, and he's working his way to you, and God can get to you just like he got to your neighbor, but all you need to do is just hang on there a little while longer, because Jesus is on the way. Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house, but this woman had an issue, and God healed her. But then look what happens next. Let's look at the 35th verse. It says, while he yet spake, he was talking to the woman. He had stopped. But while he yet spake, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Somebody say, get the fuss out. There are five things that we are dealing with this morning, and alternatives to fussing. One is worship. Second is ask God for help. Number three, don't be disturbed by someone else's miracle. And the fourth thing is listen to God and not other people. Listen to God and not other people. Listen to God and not other people. The other person on the phone does not have the answer. You need to listen to God and not other people. You have to understand what's happening here. Jesus was going to Jairus' house to see about his daughter. He was stopped along the way. In the meantime, while he was healing the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that there's someone came from the ruler's house saying, thy daughter is dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. That was the word that they had. You're going to get this in a second. Jesus was traveling to Jairus' house. He was stopped because somebody else needed a miracle. And while the miracle was occurring in that person's life, the problem got worse. Jairus' daughter was no longer sick, but there was a report that came from the house, thy daughter is dead. That's the word that they gave. But Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. Now, you have to get in your mind, in your spirit, that you're not going to listen to what other people have to say about your life and about the miracle that God has for you. What you need to do is listen to what God's word says. See, everybody else says that you can't make it, but the text says that I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Everybody else says that you can't do nothing, but the text tells me that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But everybody else says that you're a failure. God says that I can do everything. You have to understand that there's no failure in God, and if there's no failure in God and God is in you, there's no failure in you. A lot of people have told you that you're dead, you're washed up, you can't make it. But I want to let you know that there is a word from heaven today. Be not afraid, just believe. Just believe. Put your trust in God and believe that God is going to work that thing out for your life. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Don't listen to everybody else. What everybody else is saying is going to happen. What does God have to say for your life? If you remember when Jesus went to Lazarus, they were weeping, they were crying, everybody was crying, and they said that he's been in the ground for 3 days. But the Bible says that Jesus came and says, Lazarus, come forth. I don't care how dead your situation is, Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though that he was dead, yet shall he also live. I don't care how big the problem is. You might be at the point of death in your situation. God can resurrect you and bring you into prosperity, bring you into good life. He says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Stop listening to other people. Stop worrying about what other people have to say and put your trust in God. Let's go to verse 37. There are five things. Somebody say, get the fuss out. There's five alternatives to fussing. The first one was worship. The second was to ask God for help. The third, don't be disturbed by someone else's miracle. The fourth, listen to God and not other people. The fifth one is found in verse 37 to 38. It says, and he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them that wept and wailed. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why you make this ado? In other words, in Brian translation, why are you making all this fuss? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now listen. There's a couple things here that are in point five. Get people from around you that don't believe. This is the fifth thing. Get people from around you that don't believe. Jesus brought three people with him, and that was it. Three people. He brought Peter, James, and John. Bring people around you in your life that can encourage you and tell you that you can make it. Those people that are telling you that you can't make it, that you can't have a miracle in your life, you need to get them from around you. Now Jesus, he didn't get there yet. He was just on his way there, and he brought Peter, James, and John. And then he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeing the turmoil and them that wept with and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he saith, why make ye this ado? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Let's go to verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out. Let me get this point. When he had put them all out. Somebody gonna get this in a second. When he had put them all out. There are some folks in your life, there are some people around you that you need to tell them to get the hell out. Somebody gonna get that. Somebody's struggling with that statement right now. But let me make this clear. There are some people that are raising hell in your life, are putting all the devil's words in your life, putting all the negativity around you, and you need to tell them to get out. You need to tell them to take that stuff from around me. I don't want any fussing. I don't want any negativity. I want to put my trust in God, and I want you to take your bags and leave. Because I need a miracle from God, and I don't need this fussing around me. If you want to get the miracle that God has for you, stop making a mountain over a molehill and start believing God for the miracle that he has for you. The Bible says that Jesus went in with James and John and Peter, and he went into the house, and he took the mother and father, and that was it. And everybody else he put out. And then he went in and told the damsel to arise. And then she arose, and they gave her something to eat, and everybody was amazed. Everybody was amazed. This point wasn't in here, but I want to let you know right now, if you stop fussing in your life, an alternative to fussing is let God see your miracle. Let God bring your miracle about, and then let everybody see that God brought you. You know, everybody thought I'd never make it. Everybody thought I'd never be nothing. Everybody thought that I wouldn't accomplish anything. But I can look back now and say, how you like me now? Look where the Lord has brought me from. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And if you put your trust in him, if you begin to worship him, if you begin to ask God for what you want, if you begin to just put your trust in God, don't be discouraged by somebody else's miracle. Stop listening to other people and start listening to God, and get people from around you that don't believe. Then you'll be able to see the miracle that God has for your life. Just turn to your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, get the fuss out. Come on, get indignant with them and tell them serious. Come on, neighbor, get the fuss out. Come on, put your hands together and bless God for his miracle, for his word and his goodness. Come on, everybody standing on your feet. We just thank God today for his word, amen, and what he's done for our life. I want to let you know today that you don't have to make a whole bunch of fuss over your circumstance, but just trust God, and he will bring it to pass. Don't complain. Don't bicker. Don't argue. Don't make a bunch of hoopla over your circumstance, but begin to worship. Begin to ask God. Begin to get people from around you that don't believe. Don't worry about somebody else's miracle. Thank God for knowing that God is going to bring yours about. And get people from around you that don't believe in the miracle that God has for your life. This morning, I want to challenge you that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the first miracle that you can have in your life is being saved. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verse, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. This morning, I want to challenge you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you want to be saved, come on down. Come on, put your hands together because somebody's coming. Come on. Somebody needs Jesus in their life. If you want to be saved, come on. It's your day. It's your day. You can get the fuss out of your life and get Christ in your life so your life can be changed. If you want to be saved, come on. Come on, put those hands together because somebody needs Jesus today.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.